look at Matthew chapter 9. Okay, let's. I was going to read verse 35, but let's just read the context there, 27. Matthew 9, 27. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And after he had come into the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes, saying, "Be it done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See here, let no one know about this." Interesting how, I just noticed here how these blind men, they cried out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." But then it says in verse 28, and after he had come into the house, the blind men came up to him. They cried out for mercy, but Jesus didn't immediately respond. But then they came, they kept seeking him. Right? They came towards him, they came to the house. And Jesus then, he acknowledged him, right, when they came to him. And he says, "Do you believe?" It's like he wants to know, "You're crying out for mercy, do you believe?" "Yeah, I believe." All right, be done to you according to your faith. And I need faith for that. I don't have faith for that all the time. You know, it seems like we come to faith at times, "Lord, I believe," but then some things, I don't really believe. You know, like, "Lord, have mercy." It's like I say the prayer, right? "Lord, have mercy," but it's like, I don't really believe. And then I'm supposed to come to Jesus, and then he'll say, do you really believe? It's like, "Oh, Lord, I really want to believe," you know, but some things I just find it hard to believe, right? But he really was looking for faith, eh? Jesus is looking for faith, looking for genuine faith. But he healed them, and he said, "Let no one know about this." It's interesting. The Lord wants the testimony to be manifest. I think that's what, just sharing about what I shared with you, part of this, how people can see it, eh? They see the light, and they just, you know, it's not the hard word necessarily, but it's just the life, right? He who has a son is life. When they see it, that's, he wants that to be the testimony. You don't have to tell them all the stories and everything, but he wants to see the life, right? It's good to share the reports, but for those who don't know the light, they got to see the life, eh? Let no one know about this. How would he say that? You know, it seems like such a good thing. But they went out and spread the news about him in all the land. That's what we do, right? No, it's, the word's got to be back bad to life. We do got to share, but but the point is that they see the light. Verse 32, and as they were going out, behold, a dumb man, demon-possessed, was brought to him. And after the demon was cast out, the dumb man spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, nothing like this was ever seen in Israel. Jesus was doing a lot of brand new things. People didn't see stuff like this. But look at this, right? That people are, there's a light shining, like brother read that verse, right? The light shining in the land of darkness. People are seeing that something's happening. Like, they're attracted. And I'm just trying to remember this. Right? This is what people want. They just have to be so attracted to that light. Well, because the gospel does come with hard words, but there has to be life behind it, because it's just the hard words without the life. You know, it's just a hard pill to swallow. You know, like, it's got to be light, but like as Paul says, right, as death works in us, life is working in you. There's got to be a life behind the death. So they saw him, Jesus, setting people free. And they said, we haven't seen stuff like this. You know, that's got to be the testimony behind the cross. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues. So he did the good works, but then he went and he taught in the synagogues and he gave them the truth. And he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. This is the verses I want to focus on. And seeing the multitudes, says he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. And when he had this feeling come upon him, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So this is what Jesus sees, right? He sees these, all these people coming to him who need help, who, they're afflicted, they're bound, and he just is moved to help them and to heal them and to preach the gospel and to go. And he just sees them as says, sheep without a shepherd, eh? And that's how he saw his people, his own people, Israel, who had their Pharisees and had their scribes and had their teachers. He saw them as sheep without shepherds. No one would take care of them, eh? No one would take care of him. And he saw it. He felt compassion. He said, you guys got to pray. Got to pray for shepherds. That was his heart. He said, we need shepherds because there's so many people and they need help. But we need good shepherds. And that's what moved him to tell his disciples, this is how you got to pray. And then right after that, it says that having summoned the 12, he gave them authority over those unclean spirits to cast them out also. Right? And heal every sickness and every disease and so on. Because they were following him and he was teaching them. He was preparing them for that ministry and for that occupation of a shepherd, right? A shepherd's heart. He told them, you know, this is what I want. I want a shepherd's heart. And you can see here what the shepherd's heart is in verse 36. It says he felt compassion. And that's got to be the motivation behind when you're casting out the demon and when you're healing the sick. You can see all these things, but then behind it, you see his heart is moved. His heart is moved. And he's telling them, pray more than shepherds like that. I need shepherds. That's what I need. I need a shepherd's heart. And then he said, all right, here's my spirit. And he gave him the spirit to go and do this, do the works of God. And let's see, where's the best place to go now? Let's go here. I'll go here first. Let's go to Numbers 11, and we can see a picture of this. Numbers 11, verse 10 says, Moses heard the people weeping through their families, each man at the doorway of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why hast thou been so hard against your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight? You have laid the burden of all this people on me. Who is I who conceived all this people? Was it I who brought them forth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you did swear to their fathers. And it's interesting because Paul, you know, Paul in his letter says, I came to you as a nursing mother. You know, that was Paul's heart. But here Moses is saying, Lord, was it me that I'm supposed to carry them as a nursing mother? All these people, like, I have this heavy burden here. And verse 13, where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep before me, saying, give us meat to eat. I'm alone. I alone am not able to carry all these people because it's too burdensome for me. So if you're going to deal thus with me, please kill me at once if I have found favor in your sight. Do not let me see my wretchedness. So a bit of despair here on Moses' part because he's trying to bear all this burden by himself. Right? He's been that shepherd. God's called him to be the shepherd, to have the compassion. We see he's had the compassion in the past interceding for the people, but it's so heavy for him to bear it. And so we see just like Jesus, he's saying, Lord, I can't do it alone. Right? And there's a call here for more shepherds. There's a call here for more shepherds. And look what happens here. This is very interesting. Therefore the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men. Now that's a symbolic number because we see that in the New Covenant. The Lord called the 12 and then he called the 70. So he says, gather to me 70 men. He says, from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit who is upon you, and will put him upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you shall not bear it alone. There it is. So, now we get a bit of a picture here. Moses says, he can't do it all himself, and so God says, okay, I'm going to help you out. Bring those elders among the people, the ones that you have appointed over them, bring them here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Spirit on you and I'm going to give it to them for this purpose so they can bear the burdens. This is a shepherd's heart, to bear the burdens of the people. And then I read this and I realized something. This is what the Holy Spirit is for, eh? It's the helper. You know, like, just more revelation about why we want the Holy Spirit, why we ask for the Holy Spirit. When Jesus anointed his apostles and his disciples with the Holy Spirit, he said, you shall be my witnesses, right? And it's all good news, and we pray and we ask for the Holy Spirit, but we have to also recognize the calling that we have when God gives us His Holy Spirit is for one reason. According to these passages that we see here, the two we read in Matthew 9 is because He's looking for shepherds, right? That will have compassion for the sheep, because they have no shepherds. And He needs to anoint them, and He put His Spirit on them to go out and to give them the word, to feed the sheep, because they weren't being fed. And the same thing with Moses. He says, Moses, I'll bring the people, but in order to bear the burdens, you can't do it without my Spirit. Right? They could not do it. Those were elders all along, but they needed the Holy Spirit. So he says, I'm going to take the Spirit that's on you, just like with Jesus, and I'm going to give it to them so they can do this. They can bear the burden. And that's the key, is that, you know, God's called us for this ministry, and we're seeking for that. And it's good, Paul, in Timothy, says you desire a good thing, right, for this ministry. But God has to give us of His Spirit, and we have to have that heart that we will be ready to lay our life down to bear those burdens, that when He gives us the Spirit, then we know that's what the Spirit's for. And I think that's the difference between all the ministries out there, right? All the anointings and the impartations that people are getting. It's all for themselves. They've not understood why they had the Spirit. God gave the Spirit, He gave gifts to men, that they would be useful for the building up of the work of the service, for the building up of the body. But what they're doing is they're using it for unjust gain and for unjust glory. And they've taken what they believe is the Spirit, and they've just made a mockery. It's an imitation. But God said the Spirit is to bear the burdens. That's why I give my Holy Spirit, to bear the yokes, to undo the heavy yokes, to break the bonds of wickedness, to set the captives free. And so God did that. He did that for Moses so that he could have helpers. And Moses, actually, we see him sort of beseeching the Lord of the harvest here for help, right? And God answered him. This is the encouragement. Is that God? This is how we ought to pray when we see people lost. Is we sometimes pray for, it's good to pray for salvation, but we also need to pray for shepherds, because when they get saved, that's the hardest work, right? It's the hardest part to get them through that wilderness. Moses knew. This is the example. You look at it, right? Coming out of Egypt, what was difficult about God just did it all himself. He's parted the sea. He brought them through the sea. They sang the salvation song. It was all divine. It was a miracle. That was the easy part, because God did all that. And he led them to the wilderness, and he was going to do that. But Moses had to bear that. He had to endure. God appointed him as sort of a judge and ruler. And it was difficult at times because the people got rebellious, and that's what happens. So if we seek for the Holy Spirit, we're seeking it because we want to have God's helper when the burdens get heavy, because we need his power to endure. And so let's read what that looks like to have the shepherd's heart. And let's read what happened to God's people actually first in Ezekiel 34. Because this shows us why Jesus said he saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. And we know there's lots of priests and lots of scribes and Sadducees and Pharisees in Jesus' day. But he said that there were no shepherds. So they couldn't have been any shepherds, because there was none. And so now we can see here, those who are supposedly called the shepherds, what characteristics they had, so that we can see and distinguish the difference between a true shepherd and a false shepherd, or a hireling. So the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord, Woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? And this is what I was sharing about. These people that come with the anointing that they say so-called have, they're using it to feed themselves for their own gain, their own glory, right? Monetary gain. They're selling off their whatever ministry they have, right, for their own gain, but they don't really love the sheep. And he's saying that's prophesy against them, because they're prophesying for their own gain. They're not feeding the flock, they're feeding themselves. Selfish ambition and unjust gain. It says, you eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. How do they do that? With whose money who are they robbing to clothe themselves? You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. You know, and this is what we need to discern against when we see that, you know, God's sheep scattered, and you can see it, and they're being deceived, and you just know they're being they're fleecing the flock, and a part of you burns inside. But God's calling up true shepherds to expose this and to go there and to show them that kind of love, that they can be able to see that's a true shepherd and that's a false shepherd. I can see a difference here. You know, we had an email. Was that letter from Chad, right? How that the brother was encouraged, because he heard that the brothers were singing music and they weren't selling it. So the guy went in front of his church and he publicly repented, for selling his music that God gave him. I heard that. I was so encouraged. You know, God's looking for true shepherds that aren't gonna strip the flock, right? Take their wool and just clothe themselves, and he humbled himself. You know, and God can use a man like that who will humble himself and repent for what he's done. But this is God's desire. He said, And actually, this is what the false shepherds do. He says, those who are sickly, you have not strengthened them. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. And so we see Jesus healing the sick, casting out the demons, binding up the brokenhearted. He said this, I came to set the captives free. I came to bind up the brokenhearted. I came to bring back the scattered flock. And he came with grace and truth. But the false shepherds are robbing, stripping, stealing, and destroying. And they're doing it kind of like in Luke 12. It says they beat the sheep, they eat and drink and get drunk. They feed themselves. And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And that's why they were lost sheep. They were scattered because there weren't true shepherds who were giving them the truth. They didn't have a shepherd who would lay his life down. And so the beasts came in, the wild beasts, and they scattered them. And so there is a part of the shepherd. When God calls a shepherd and he doesn't fulfill his ministry and his role, and the sheep will go astray because of it, God has mercy on those sheep, right? Where his wrath burns against those shepherds first. And so he had compassion on them for that reason, because the beasts came and they scattered them. They became food for every beast of the field where they were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. And Jesus said, I came to search and seek for that which is lost, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you know, when you give them a gospel that says, God knows how to take care of my sheep, right? But you don't even go and look for them or search for them when they're down. Well, I want to have that heart. And sometimes you feel like, well, Moses did. And you see, boy, it's just, Lord, you just kill me because I can't do it, right? But just to say, Lord, no, I'll lay my life down like Jesus did, to the point of death for one sheep. Eh? David was a great example of that. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become prey, my flock has become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding them. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, and that they may not be food for them. And we see that out of all the things Jesus spoke in the New Testament, he was the hardest against the Pharisees. Eh? And that's because it says here that he was against the shepherds. And he spoke with brutal words against them. He says, I'm going to demand my sheep from you, and I'm going to cause you to cease from being shepherds. And he chose foolish men like these fishermen, and he said, all right, I'm going to make you fishers of men now. And I'm going to call these guys, and I'm going to anoint them. And then those shepherds got so angry that they persecuted them in Acts. God humbled them. He did that. He used the foolish things to confound the wise, those strong, fat shepherds, the sheep that were just butting with their heads. He took the Peters and the James and the Johns. He humbled them through a period. And then he took them and he just exalted them. And they said, who are these untrained, uneducated men? And they just marveled because God was doing the signs and wonders through them, right? Healing the sick and the diseased and all the sheep that were the crippled guy at the gate, and just doing wonderful things. And those fat sheep were getting angry, more angry. God was confounding them. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. God says, I'm going to do it. And that's why he sent Jesus. That was his plan. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep. That's God's heart. That's the heart that Jesus had. He said he was moved with compassion. God's heart was he had a care for his sheep. And that is a key discerning characteristic of a true shepherd from a false. Because Jesus said that in John 10, well, we can read that. Because when the wolf comes, it says, he flees because he's not concerned, it says. He's not concerned about the sheep. They really don't have concern. They'll preach, they'll sell, right? They'll promise. But when it comes to laying their life down, there's no care. Right? So how do you discern a true prophet? Because we were talking about this the other day. You know them by their fruits, right? Well, you don't always see that in one day. Sometimes, and I'm sharing with people, and I'm, you know in your spirit something doesn't feel right, but you say, Lord, how do I reveal this? And you know the fruits, yeah, you know them by the fruits, but you really have to know what to look for, right? And when you can see whether there's a caring heart, and we're all growing in this in measures, but that should be our desire, to really have a caring heart. That's what a true shepherd has. He cares for the sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered It says, on the cloudy and gloomy day, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all that inhabited places of the land. You know, the sheep are not being fed. Eh? They don't have any knowledge. The people perish because of lack of knowledge. Jesus, was Hosea that said that? Hosea said that. They're perishing because they have no knowledge. And actually in Romans 10, I think it's 10, it says that seeking to establish a righteousness of their own, maybe it's end of 9, it says they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. So they exalted a different righteousness and they fed the sheep with poison water, muddy waters. That's what he says here. So they weren't feeding them, and that's why the sheep are going astray. Because they're... I even heard it the other day when I was at church. I just heard something. It was so subtle, eh? But it was a bit of a twist. And I thought, oh man, that's just some people, eh? They're not hearing that the truth, and it's just taking away the conviction. If it really love the truth, it says they'll turn a man from the error of his ways, he'll cover a multitude of sins, save his soul from death. If they really hear the truth, but it has to be, the key is it has to be with a caring heart, right? Not like the ones that says they have dominated them with severity and with force. Not like that, but in a heart of compassion. You can share a hard word, but if it's with compassion, you know, people can receive that. They need to be fed. He says, I will feed them in a good pasture. I'm going to bring them to a good pasture and good grazing. That grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. He's talking about Mount Zion. There they will lie down in good grazing ground. There they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. He promises them rest. Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, I will seek the lost and bring back the scattered, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. He makes it very clear about those shepherds that are doing these things. He says it's going to be destruction. He said, I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and male goats. So before he deals with the sheep, it says he's going to deal with the shepherds, which is according to the word. Right? Judgment begins with the household of God. He's going to start with the elder, the head, right down to the tail. But he says after he deals with those false shepherds, he's going to judge between one another to see who's really a sheep. He's going to show them compassion, but he's going to discern who really wants to follow him. And he's also going to judge between the rams and the male goats. Those are the leaders, the heads, right? The ram, the male sheep, and the male goats. He's also going to judge them. Is it too slight a thing for you that you should feed in the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures? Or that you should drink of the clear waters, that you must foul the rest with your feet? Now, something interesting here is that the Lord is saying that they're actually feeding on good ground, eh? They're actually getting clear waters. His people are the pastors are reading the word. And you know, God might even reveal some things to them, but because of popularity or reputation or seeking to please men, Paul said, right? He could not be a bondservant of Christ if he sought to please men. And so they're receiving some kind of waters. It says they actually drink clear waters, but they give them foul waters. They muddy it with their feet. And I think that's what he said about the Pharisees. He said, you know, they're saying all the right things, but they're doing something different. And they're actually muddying the water. So he says, do what they say, but don't do what they do. They muddy it because their actions aren't lining up with their words. And they don't really love the sheep. They're not laying their life down. As for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet, and they must drink what you foul with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I will judge between the fat sheep and the lean. Because you push at the side with the shoulder and thrust the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. Then, and this is where you see the prophecy of the Messiah, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. And so I wanted to read that passage. Son of David, have mercy on me. They called him Son of David. I'll set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He's going to feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. And I, the Lord, have spoken. And he says this, I'll make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate the harmful beasts from the land so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. He's going to bring peace, eh? when he gives them the good word. There's going to be peace. There's not going to be fear of the beasts and all the things outside. It's not going to, they're not going to be afraid of that. I'll make them, it says, the places around my hill a blessing. I will cause showers to come down in their season, and there will be showers of blessing. Also, the tree of the field will yield its fruit, and the earth will yield its increase, and they will be secure in their land. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. That's why they follow Jesus. Because he had mercy and compassion. He set them free. He broke the yokes. They followed him. It's true she followed him because they saw that. They saw that he loved them. The life. And I wanted to read that scripture actually. In 1 John 4, it says that the love of God was manifested to us in this, that God sent his Son for us. Right? And that we love him because he first loved us. And this is love. Not that we loved him, it says, but that he loved us. And I just got this revelation that, you know, it's the love, eh? You know, they need to hear the word, but when they see that true shepherd's love, the people, they follow Jesus. They followed him for that reason. And that woman, even, that broke that jar, she saw the love. And it just, that was a sheep that Jesus could have compassion on, that those fat sheep were butting and with their stones, eh? Oppressing. And Jesus just came with like a humble shepherd and just took her in. She loved him because she showed her love. He broke that heavy yoke that those fat sheep put on her. He broke it. And it says here in verse 20, and they will no longer be a prey to the nations, and the beasts of the earth will not devour them, but they will live securely, and no one will make them afraid. And I will establish for them a renowned planting place. And they will not again be victims of famine in the land. I think Amos shared this famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And they will not endure the insults of the nations anymore. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, my people, declares the Lord. As for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, declares the Lord. So let's look in John 10. Because Jesus, we see the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus says he was that shepherd. And we see the context, and we also get to see who the false shepherds are here. Or the ones who are fat, from verse 40 of chapter 9, actually. John 9, verse 40. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things. And they said to him, We are not blind too, are we? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would say, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. And Jesus said, you guys are blind shepherds. Isaiah prophesied about that. I'll just read that here. Isaiah 56. He prophesied about the blind shepherds, and actually he pointed out the reason why they're blind. A few characteristics. This gives us discernment about what a true and a false shepherd looks like. Isaiah 56, verse 9, it says, all you beasts of the field, all you beasts of the forest, come to eat. God's saying, come, because my shepherds are, they're devouring the flock. He says in verse 10, his watchmen are blind. There it is. His watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are dumb dogs. Those are the dogs. They're unable to bark. They're dreaming. They're lying down. We love to slumber. And the dogs are greedy. That's why they're blind. Because they say they have no sin, but their hearts are full of robbery and self-indulgence, he told them. They're greedy, and they're not satisfied. And they are shepherds who have no understanding. And they have all turned their own way. It says here, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. They're going to unjust gain, and he says, I'll make them blind. He's making them blind. And so he says, come, beasts of the field, and devour. And God lets the beasts devour them because the shepherds are dumb dogs. They can't bark, and they're blind. And he says to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but because you say it's all good, he says, your sin remains. And then he said, truly, truly, I say to you, speaking of the Pharisees, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. And Jesus said here, you guys are thieves, and you guys are robbers. And you're robbing the sheep, just like my servant Isaiah prophesied. You're robbing the sheep. You're killing the sheep, and you're eating and you're feeding yourselves. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd. He's a shepherd of the sheep. And to him, the door opens, And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He spoke about that. I will lead them into green pastures. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them. See, he goes before them because he loves them, and he leads the way. This is the characteristic of the shepherd's heart. This speaks about how we're to be examples, right? Leading them by example. Blessed is the Lord wants enough for all of us, right? And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. And this is the other thing, is that God gives some time, you know, but if we really love the truth, and we're in a place, and we're not listening to a true shepherd, you know, that's a fearful thing, because deception is around the corner if we're not listening to the voice of the Spirit. Because the Word of God says here that they will flee from a stranger. If it's a strange voice, they have to flee. But the true shepherds, if they see them, they need to feed them the truth so that they can discern between good and evil, between the right and the left hand. You know, the ones in Nineveh, they couldn't discern right and left hand. These were heathen pagans. But the ones who hear his voice, he gives them opportunity to choose which voice they're going to follow, the stranger or the true fit shepherd. But it says, this figure of speech, Jesus spoke of them, those shepherds, but they did not understand. From Isaiah 56, they had no understanding. What those things were, they didn't understand what he had been saying to them. In verse 7, Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I'm the shepherd. He said, I'm also the door. You have to come through me. This is the way, the life that I live. That's the way, the truth, and the life. In verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. That's how he judges between sheep and sheep. Because the sheep, you see, there's actually different sheep, eh? Because if you read in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. You know, people just say, well, if I'm a sheep, no one's going to snatch me out of his hand. But, well, how do you know what sheepfold you're from? He says, my sheep. Right? But it says here that his sheep, they follow him. And so if they're from a different fold, and they're following the voice of a stranger, that those sheep are following another voice. That's why he's going to judge between one sheep and another sheep. The sheep that really follow Jesus, those are the ones who won't be snatched. The sheep that follow another voice, that has some kind of unjust gain for them, or hope or vain promise, they will be snatched by the wolf, is what Jesus said. Verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Jesus' sheep, they won't hear those people. They really won't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. That's the only way to be saved. It has to be through Jesus. Hireling's not going to bring salvation. I shall go and shall go in and come out and find pasture. Just like in Ezekiel 34. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, and I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Well, that's the difference between someone who brings scripture and brings knowledge and all these things, but the life isn't there. You know, and you can tell when someone has, that's why you can use someone who doesn't have all the knowledge but has the life to confound someone who has the knowledge, and it's a spiritual thing that's going on. And he says, I came that they might have life abundantly. That's the thing that Jesus had that these scribes and Pharisees never had. And he said, I'm the good shepherd. He says, I'm a good shepherd. And here's the key to what a good shepherd is. It's just a simple word, eh? It says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's it. As I was pondering, how do you discern between the false prophets and from what Matthew 7, he says, you'll know them by their fruits. And it's just so simply put here. Jesus says, the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. It's just a matter of time whether you tell this shepherd will lay his life down or not. That's how you'll know. They'll follow that shepherd if he lays his life down for him. Paul did it. Paul laid his life down. Demas, no, he forsook him for the world. But he who's a hireling, he's not a shepherd at all. He's not the owner of the sheep. He bowls the wolf, he leaves and flees. And that's when the wolf snatches those sheep. Those sheep, because they're following the hireling. That's why they got snatched. They should never have been following him. And he flees because he's a hireling, and it says here he's not concerned about the sheep. He doesn't care for them. He's concerned about one thing, feeding himself. And that's when if the Lord's called us to follow after him, we have to just so guard against that. Robbing God of anything that would feed ourselves, whether it's glory or money or pride or whatever it is. God is so jealous as he's been revealing this to me, that the motives, he searches the motives, eh, and just sends us through so many tests to see if we'll grab something while we're in the position. Eh? Will we grab something that's not for us to touch? As he prepares us to put us in positions to be responsible, to give us the spirit to bear the burden, and he'll test us whether we'll take something. You know, and if we grab, it's a scary place, because that's where his wrath burns against those shepherds that steal his glory. And if we just forsake and deny ourselves, we'll find ourselves having love for the sheep and not for our own gain. And that's what makes a good shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know my Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He kept saying it over. He says that over and over and over and over. I lay down my life. I lay down my life. He's telling them. He's preparing his disciples. I lay down my life. Which last week we shared, right? Peter, will you lay down your life for me? Lord, I'll lay it down. No, not now. Later you will. Because he knew there was some kind of gain that he was seeking for. And he had to go through that trial until he would realize, oh, stretch out my hands and someone else is going to pull me, take me where I don't want to go. That's the life of a shepherd. If you want the Holy Spirit, you know, we brothers want the Holy Spirit, and then we should seek it. But that's what it's for. For the power to do that, because you can't. I can't do it. I just feel weak when I try and do it myself. I need the power of the Spirit, but I have to know it. That's what it's for. To lay my life down. And Jesus says he has another sheepfold. And he spoke about the Gentiles. And Peter, of course, we know he was prepared to lay his life down for them at first. And so God had to give him a vision to show him, hey, kill and eat, Peter. You gotta have a love for the Gentiles. He struggled with that one. But you're going to have to lay your life down for them too. In Galatians, he was separating himself with the Jews, right? That partiality there. That's not a true shepherd. So Paul rebuked him on it. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. That's whom the Father loves. That's why he said, this is my Son, my beloved Son, and whom I love. It says right here, my Father loves me because I lay down my life. Boy, I really need to ask him for that, because it's not in the flesh. Eh? The flesh does not want to lay its life down all the time. But the true shepherd lays his life down, that I may take it again. No one has taken away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. You know, you can't force someone to do it. You can't try and compel someone to do it. It really has to be a submission of your own will. Otherwise, you just make converts that are conformed after someone's... It's like circumcision of the hands, right? You can't compel someone to be circumcised. Jesus says, I lay it down on myself. He's choosing that life. Paul says, I pouring myself out. And then he also knew, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment to receive my Father. He's going to give resurrection life. When we lay down our life, as Paul said, as the death works in us, life's going to come. So I just was pondering on these things, that you know, it's, the Lord wants to give us a heart to bear the burdens. That's why he promises us the Spirit, to be able to carry those burdens and to have true compassion for the sheep. And that's what we need to beseech the Lord for, is shepherds that have a heart like that. Shepherds that have compassion for people. And shepherds that won't feed themselves, but they'll feed the flock. In Jesus' name.